Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And one of the miracles that I've wanted for as long as I can remember is for every person, every animal, and the earth itself have our dreams come true, what is in our deepest heart of love, which are God's desires. And that all life be honored, and that we all bless each other with all of our interactions, and that people stop killing animals and using them for torturous purposes. And I feel so aligned with you in that deepest heart's desire, Sharon.
Oh, thank you so much. We are aligned in that.
Sharon, I'm just so grateful that you could take time to do this. I know how really, really busy you are.
Oh, well, it's very special to me, and I just feel there's such a great importance to your show. I mean, every show that you do on whatever topic is just absolutely wonderful, but I just so treasure the fact that you give the animals always an equal voice, and that you spend so much time and attention on the show to helping people understand what glorious divine beings the animals are and how we should all take a closer look to see the gifts that they have to give us.
Yes, and today we want to talk about the beloved, beautiful Lily.
We do.
And acknowledge and honor her and give thanks for her and all that she has meant to your work and all the animals of the world.
She really has. And I feel, for those that are listening to us today, that this is a really important story, not because it's a personal story about me and about Lily, but because it so beautifully illustrates what's capable if we really unite with an animal companion on a really deeply spiritual level. Because to me, what happened in the story of Lily, which I'll tell, is something that I feel can happen with any person and any animal if we really look at them as equal partners and as bringing a great gift into our life. And I think what I'll do is start in present time and just say that Lily crossed over on Palm Sunday, which was this last Palm Sunday, and she was 25 years old. And as you know, Iris, before she made her final exit from the physical dimension, she gave me a lot of practice by disappearing twice. She disappeared once a little more than a year ago on a rainy night, and I just assumed that she, because she was elderly, that she had gone off into the alley behind my house to make her transition there, because she was born feral, not too far from where I was living. But then miraculously, 24 hours later, she showed up. And the real beauty of that was that she, in disappearing and having me believe that she might have made her transition, I grieved and grieved and grieved for her, so that when she returned, it's like 99.9% of the grief was gone, and the rest of the time that we had together, which was a little over a year, was really free and clear of any kind of karma or grief. And then I'm terrible with time, so maybe, Iris, you remember the timing better than I do, but about 6 weeks prior to Palm Sunday, when Lily transitioned here in my meditation room, she disappeared again for almost 10 days. And again, I thought and honored the fact that she had gone out into the feral field where she was born to make her transition. And then I had a dream, or a kind of lucid dream, early in the morning around 5 o'clock, where I actually heard Lily's voice, which after 25 years I'm very familiar with. And the voice says, "Don't worry, I'm 2 doors down. And because I thought she'd made her transition, or she'd allowed me to feel that she'd made her transition, I thought, well, 2 doors down, that must have some kind of esoteric significance that I'm not understanding. But then the very same afternoon, a very dear friend of mine and Lily's, who does work at our local Humane Society, happened to go in there and saw Lily there in a cage, and brought Lily back to me. And when I asked the people at the Humane Society where they had found her, they had found her 2 doors down from my current office, which is where Lily spent all her time, because she's quite the businesswoman. And I'm going to come back to this a little bit later, because there's a real deep significance in her showing up at the Humane Society. But then if I go backward in time, when Lily showed up in my life, I had just gotten out of a very a challenging and difficult marriage, and my daughter had mysteriously disappeared, and so I was in a kind of state of shock and not knowing what to do with my life. And also, I was beginning to get very sick and didn't quite understand why. And Lily appeared in my life, having been born into a litter of feral kittens in the alley behind my house. And as I remember, there were 5 kittens, and I'd spent many years taking care of feral cats, so my tendency was always to just feed them and give them shelter, and then when they were old enough, to have them spayed and neutered. But Lily, on her own, took it upon herself when she was just a tiny little thing to walk up the back stairs of my apartment, which were very steep and very long, and she was probably 8 or 10 weeks old at the time. It's hard to tell because she was very undernourished and she looked actually younger than she was. But I watched her out my window, and she made her way all the way up the stairs, and I let her in the door of my apartment, and she came rushing in. But for over 2 months, she wouldn't let me touch her. I would feed her, and she had a little place where she could sleep. But it was obvious to me that even when she wouldn't let me touch her, that she was simply making her adjustment, and that she had very purposely come into my life for a reason that I couldn't really fully perceive at the time. And at a certain point, I think it was after she was with me about 10 days, I heard her very distinctly tell me that her name was Lily. And I'll come back to that as well, because there's a tremendous significance to that that I didn't realized at the time. But over the next year, year and a half, I had left my marriage, and I really had no direction in life, and I became sicker and sicker and sicker for no apparent reason, to the point where I really couldn't go out at all. I had almost MS-like symptoms, where I was unable to walk for periods of time, and then I was in and out of the hospital, and finally it was determined that I had Lyme disease through a blood test, and still the treatments and things weren't doing much good. And at a certain point, I'd had several operations. I just simply decided to stay home, and either I'd make my transition or God would give me some purpose to stay. And so Lily and another little cat that came into my life at that time named Shoji, who died many years ago, they literally midwifed me through both the illness and a near-death experience, and the whole process of getting better and renewing my life and finding my purpose. And during my illness and near-death experience, I was really taken to a realm that was very heavenly, filled with animals. And yet when I asked the animals, when I traveled to this place out of body and I asked the animals, am I in heaven? They said, no, you're not in heaven. You can't go that far. We just want to show you a few things and then we're going to send you back. And so in this beautiful place, which was populated by all kinds of animals, I mean, everything you can imagine, from polar bears to lions to dogs, cats, elephants, they talked to me and they gave me instructions and visual images of myself picking flowers and putting them in water and then making these potions out of the flowers. And at the time that I saw the image, and even afterwards for many months, I didn't know really what it meant. But then I was sent back into my body and into my bed in my apartment where I was when I took this journey. And Lily and her little companion, Shoji, were there. And over the months as I recovered, or the year after that, I began spontaneously to make flower essences, which are vibrational tinctures that are made from the blossoms of flowering plants, which you float on the surface of a bowl of water in the sunlight for several hours. And then the imprint of the flower, which contains the information about the medicinal qualities of the plant, are transferred to the water. And just to back up for a minute, during the process of my illness, I had had a very high fever for 10 days, so I was actually in a state of amnesia where I didn't really recognize people in my family and didn't know where I was for a period of time. And yet it wasn't scary at all. It was like a totally magical experience that for many months rendered me like a child. And it was during that time that I began to make the flower essences, not really knowing what they were or what they were for or even what the names of the flowers were. But it was more like a direct relationship with the flower that would call to me and ask me to make an essence from it. And all of this time, Lily and Shoji, Lily in particular, would accompany me out when I made flower essences near my house. And she would literally sit by the bowl of water for 2 or 3 hours while the essence was being made. And I would always know immediately when the essence transfer was completed because she would get up and walk away. And sometimes it was 2 hours, sometimes 2.5, sometimes 3. And so for a year and a half, or actually close to 2 years, I made all of these flower essences, and then I began to research what they were, mainly through the work of Dr. Edward Bach, who's very well known as the father of flower essences. So I began to understand what I was doing. But it became clearer and clearer to me during this process that Lily absolutely was my guide, and that she had absolutely come into my life on purpose to see me through the illness, the recovery from my marriage and the loss of my daughter and the illness, and also to set me on my true path, which was to both make flower essences for animals to heal them, and also the animal communication, which clicked in at a certain point. And for people that have listened to other shows that Iris and I have done, we've talked a little bit about the animal communication, but we can come back to talking about that too. But all the while that I was recovering from the illness and making the essences, I was really totally doing it through Lily's guidance, and really just through my love for the plants and the flowers, not knowing that it would become anything at all. And then over a decade's time, it developed into an actual business where people began to hear that I was making flower essences for animals, and they would kind of spontaneously show up to have their animals be healed, and people began to ask me to communicate with their animals. And through the entire process, Lily was there. I mean, literally seldom more than eyesight away. Even when she would go out into the garden, she'd come back every few minutes to check on me. And so over more than two decades that she was with me, it became clearer and clearer to me that had it not been for her entering my life at the time that she did, that none of that would have happened. I mean, I think without Lily's presence, I would have perhaps died from the illness I had, or simply recovered and resumed an ordinary life. But through her guidance and ministration, the whole process became more and more my life work until now it's really everything I do is either involving the essences or communicating with animals. And as Lily began to grow more frail beginning a year or so ago, I began to think more directly about the meaning of Lily. You know, all of the flowers have very special significance, and the names have significance. And really a lily, I mean, water lily, Mount Shasta lily, all of the different lilies are kind of like the lotus in the East. They represent higher consciousness, higher guidance, connection with the divine, enlightenment, all of those things. And so when Lily told me her name, at the time, I had no idea the significance, but then looking back, it was just amazing the significance that her name took on as I began to see the importance of what she was doing in my life. And then to jump forward in time again, one of the most amazing things is that she died on Palm Sunday. And I wanted, when she crossed over in my meditation room very peacefully, I wanted to kind of refresh myself as to the meaning of Palm Sunday. So I looked on the internet, and the very first site that came up was a Catholic website that said, Palm Sunday, also known as Flower Sunday. So Lily had literally chosen Flower Sunday to make her exit from this world. Hmm. And she spent, from the time that she was brought back from the Humane Society to the time she crossed over, she spent in my meditation room going around to all of the different masters' pictures that are there. And when she crossed over, her little paw was reaching out and touching a photo of the Dalai Lama. So she had just an extraordinary life in passing, and I took some photographs of her 24 hours before she made her transition, which I'll send to you, Iris. And in the pictures, which are close-ups of her profile, when I put the photos into the computer and printed them off, there's eight perfect orbs of light right in front of her face.
Wow.
And eight is the I don't know all of the significance, but to me eight is the infinity symbol.
Yeah.
And when you look at the orbs of light, I looked at them with a friend through a magnifier. They're not like just light, but when you look at them up close, they're solid. They're like like a spiral mandala. And she had been looking off into what seemed to be the distance for days, but when I saw the photograph, I realized that what she was looking at were these orbs of light that were really beings of light that were guiding her to the other side. But the thing that I really want to bring home to people is not that this story is special, but that every single animal is special, and every animal that we bring into our life or who comes into our life has a gift just as special as this one. And sometimes we don't get it because we human beings can be kind of dense. I mean, in the beginning, I had no idea what Lily was doing. I loved her very much, but I had no idea of the significance of the work that she was doing with me. And over the last 15 years or so, as I've done more and more animal communication, I've talked to countless people who have literally have had animals come into their life who have assisted them in starting businesses, whether it was very conscious from the beginning or just guidance through intuition. So the important quality in all of this is just that the animals come to us absolutely on purpose and absolutely to click into some aspect of our divine blueprint and to help us to manifest that at just exactly the right time. So what I hope everybody who's listening today is left with is a real desire to look at their animals through different eyes, to really look and see who it is behind that little feathered whiskered face. Because these animals are just absolutely divine beings, and they have such gifts for us if we just look. And I know you've had similar experiences, Iris. I mean, there's just the magical way that you met your beloved life partner and everything. I mean, look how your bunny Notorious initiated that. I mean, just absolutely amazing. I mean, had it not been for Notorious, you know, your life would still be beautiful and you'd be doing something, but you wouldn't have taken the path you're on now. So it's just amazing if one thinks back about their animal companions in the past. It's usually in hindsight that we can see the magic. And what I would hope as consciousness expands for all of us is that it wouldn't take hindsight to realize the gift, but that we realize it in the moment as we went along.
Yes, and I really hope that instead of saying, don't feed it and it'll go away, or calling the animal control, people will look when an animal shows up in their life and really experience that they're a gift. Not that they're another mouth to feed, not that they're, I think that people don't appreciate puppies and kittens because there's so many of them.
I know. And to me too, Iris, one of the significant things about Lily's story, and I'm sure it was very, very much on purpose on her part, is that she was a feral alley cat, not a fancy cat. She was born in the alley behind my house. None of my neighbors wanted anything to do with the feral cats. You know, people would shoot them. Oh. And at the very least, not feed them. And look at the gift that this little feral starving cat gave to me by coming up my stairs. And you're absolutely right. I mean, it is incredible. I mean, the words you use, like people referring to animals as it, they're not it. They're divine beings that have come into our life absolutely on purpose. And there isn't any creature that we meet that comes into our realm of existence that doesn't have a gift for us. It doesn't always mean that we should take every one of them in, but we should take very close attention to treating that being as a divine being and making sure that we receive the message and the gift that's there to give, and that we give a gift in return by helping that animal, either by taking it in or by helping it on its way to some beautiful circumstance. Because otherwise, you know, of course animals suffer tremendously in the world, but you know, we suffer the most because we miss their gift.
Yeah. You know, I have a kitty story to tell, and I feel like he did it. So we would talk about it. He did it yesterday, so we would talk about
That's
it.
That's great.
This is Treasure, and he is from the Humane Society there in Mount Shasta. And I just give so much thanks that they kept him for 5 weeks. They kept him until I went up there and got him. And I love him so much. And I got all of the kitties purple collars with purple hearts with their name on them and the phone number. And they have a little purple bell, and they look so cute.
Wonderful.
Necklaces.
Necklaces. The kitties want them to be called necklaces.
Yes.
And an important addition to that is that Iris and I are very, 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 very dear, deep friends. And when Lily ended up in the Humane Society where Treasure came from, she was in exactly the same cage that you found Treasure in.
Oh, my goodness.
So these kitties are doing their work, and, you know, it's not only, I think, that Treasure ended up there to meet you on that particular day, but he was doing his work there.
Oh, yes,
clearing
definitely.
Energy, bringing in new energy. Lily, I have no doubt, was there to bring her blessing before she made her transition in the very same place that Treasure was.
Wow.
Same cage.
Wow.
And when my friend went in to find her and found her, she said that Lily was just giving off this incredible, like, golden blessing energy, which is actually just what Treasure was doing when we found him.
Yeah. Well, listen what he did. The night before last, he fell off the deck that's about 20 feet up, and done it. He's done it several times.
He says he bounced.
Yes, he thinks he can fly. And he showed up about 2 o'clock in the morning, down below, you know, outside. And, when he came in, he didn't have his necklace. And it's quite an outlay to get necklaces for all seven
yes,
of us.
Yes, it is.
And I didn't want that necklace to be missing. And besides, it looks so pretty on him. It's bright purple. The heart is bright purple. The bell is bright purple. And then he's this beautiful white. So he looks so cute with it on.
Stunning,
so,
I'm sure.
Yes. So I looked everywhere for it, and I couldn't find it. And so I looked over the balcony that he had fallen off of, and he was walking along the sidewalk there, and I said, Treasure, I've looked every place for your necklace. I can't find it. I want you to go get it and bring it to me, please. And then I forgot about it. And I did my meditation and everything, and in about an hour, I went downstairs. He was sitting at the back door, and in front of his paws was his necklace. And I just think that is so amazing, but he's also blown their cover that they do understand exactly everything you say.
Not only that, but I get the impression that the collar was nowhere near, or the necklace was nowhere near where it was when you saw him there with it, so he levitated it.
Oh, I thought he found it.
He did find it. Did he fall off of the balcony off of your bedroom?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, that's a long fall.
He's done it about three times. Well, I think he dives into the hydrangeas there.
That's where the necklace was.
Is it? Lucky the bunnies didn't eat it.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was so amazing. And but I said to him, Treasure, you know, if you guys understand so well, why aren't you more obedient? And he said, cats aren't obedient. They expect obedience.
That's right. And also they say obedience is no fun. It's actually a real important thing. You know, it sounds like something small, but to call it a necklace instead of a collar, because, you know, what we really want to get away from is things like collars, harnesses, leashes, muzzles, all those things that have to do with control and
shock fences.
Subservience, right. And cats in particular, they don't like collars, but they like self-adornment. So if you call it a necklace and it's beautiful and purple and sparkly, they take to it right away because they understand that that enhances their already wonderful qualities.
They do look so cute on them. They look so cute on. But then, a couple hours later, when I went to put it on him, he fought. and I got that when he brought it back, that was his willingness to wear it.
Uh huh.
So I didn't quite understand that.
He says he finally let you put it on.
Yeah, he
says he didn't want to make it easy for you. That wouldn't be any fun. It would be boring.
Well, you said the other day to me that you always felt like you knew Lily.
Yes. Yes, when she came into my life, it was, even though she was this little wild thing that had had to fend for her own, I just felt instantly that I had known her forever, that she'd been with me forever. And, you know, my sense of Lily is that she really had been with me since my soul first incarnated and began its journey, but that in this particular lifetime, at the particular time that she entered my life, she knew exactly what she was doing. She knew that that was like a turning point, both karmically over many, many lifetimes, but also within this lifetime. So it was like she'd been my guardian, and she'd made the sacrifice to come to Earth and to be with me, to be born wild in an alley from a wild mother, so that she could intersect with my life just at that particular time to help me get aligned with my life path.
Hmm.
And countless clients of mine over the years have reported similar things where animals have come into their life and seemingly given them ideas for businesses and things, but really it's not an idea. It's like a divine inspiration that the animal channels through to us in a way that we can receive it better. And although cats might object to this statement, all animals can do it. Dogs, rabbits,
dogs.
You name it. They all have a gift. But cats, of course, think that, you know, they're the best.
That's the official cat attitude.
It is the official cat attitude.
Dogs don't care. They just want to give their gift.
I can hear Treasure say that every cat deserves a sparkly purple necklace.
So does he like it?
He does like it. He just wanted to give you a hard time because it was more fun that way.
It was the loveliest thing to have him bring that.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I find cats, you know, not just with their own collars and or necklaces and things, but they can often find lost items. So if you've lost your car keys or your wallet or something, they can often tell you just exactly where it is, unless, of course, they don't want to.
Aren't they the best example of doing what you want?
They really are.
Without self-doubt, without judgment, without regret.
That's right.
They just are and do it.
And they like to be pranksters sometimes, you know? So that's also a gift because it kind of wakes us up. They tend to do things that we don't expect.
I wanted to go back to Lily and see if you covered all your points, because one thing I wanted to do with this program is just really give thanks for Lily, but also give thanks for all the animals that, you know, some of the animals that are destroyed in the animal control places. I hate that word, control.
Cats don't like it either.
Oh, no. But I think that those animals may have given themselves for people to see that they can't do that. They can't live that way.
Yeah, that's true. And also to me, what I always think when I contemplate animals being killed like that is that because of my experience with Lily, I know with all my heart that what it means is that there's some person out there that's missed the gift that that animal could bring. And it's a tremendous loss.
Well, I know of some people that were forced to get the gifts of the animals. I know there's a story about this man that was a butcher, and every pig, the last thing before he cut their throat, they would look into his eye.
Oh.
And he quit doing that and never ate meat again.
That's an incredible story.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's sort of like that story. What was that guy's name that was in the Nazi concentration camp? Leonard somebody. And they would torture him. He could instantly heal his body.
Right.
And they would torture him, and he'd be bleeding, and he'd say, I love you, I love you, I love you, to the people who had tortured him. And it would immediately heal up and quit bleeding. So they finally let him go because they thought he was Christ.
Right. Definitely was carrying the Christ consciousness, wasn't he?
Yes, but I think that's what those pigs were doing, Sharon.
It is. It's actually what all the animals do, that as much as we overlook their gifts and we abuse them or put them to death, they love us anyway, and they keep coming back over and over and over and over again out of their compassion. It's all about unconditional love.
Wow. It seems like there were some points you were going to come back to about Lily. I want to be sure we covered everything.
Well, the two things I wanted to come back to were the significance of her name, which became more clear to me over the last year, which is just that it has to do with enlightenment, transcendence, tuning into higher consciousness, like the lotus in the East. And I wanted to come back, as we did, to the fact that when she ended up in the Humane Society, that she was in the very same cage that Treasure was in. So to me, another thing is that the animals help us kind of connect the dots in our life and the people that are most significant to us and the animals that are the most significant. And I mean, you're one of the, if not the very most significant person in my life, and treasure, other than Lily, I would say is probably the second most significant animal in my life.
Wow.
So somehow they were connecting the dots for us and making it clear.
Yes. Well, talk about Lotus Moon and the way she came to you.
Lotus Moon is my new little kitty, fairly new. She came into the picture when Lily was still here. Last October, and I had really not intended to have another personal animal when Lily crossed over, because my time is devoted to other people and their animals. But one of my longtime clients up near Seattle had a beautiful white kitty show up at her door, pregnant. And Marilyn let the kitty in, and within 10 days or so, she'd given birth to 3 black and 3 white kittens. But even before the kittens were born, I knew that the one that was all white was mine. And 2 of the 3 white ones turned spotted, and Lotus stayed all white. And so when Lotus was 5 months old, Marilyn drove her down to me. And
5 months?
Five weeks.
Uh-huh.
So she was really young, but in a way very mature, too. And so she actually had the opportunity of being Lily's apprentice for a number of months, mm-hmm. and learning all about how to take care of me and how to assist me in the business. And it very, very much was divinely guided so that Lily could feel comfortable and that I was being cared for so that she could make her graceful exit from the physical dimension. And Lotus Moon is very much like Treasure. She's all white with one blue and one kind of golden or hazel eye, but very, very much the same energy, don't you think?
Oh, exactly, my gosh. The same energy.
It's like they're from the same planet, exactly.
Their fur feels the same. They move the same. And the way they move is very, it's very uncharacteristic of cats.
It is. Very different.
What is that? You describe it.
Well, boy, it's hard to put words on. Their carriage is different. To me, when I look at Lotus and when I remember looking at Treasure, like they hold their back differently, straighter, and there's a different energy that they emanate when they move. In some ways, it's very uncat-like.
Yeah, and it's floaty.
It's floaty. It's like they kind of float above the ground.
It's just amazing.
And they have an attitude.
Describe that.
Yeah, they look like these beautiful little angelic puffballs, all white and fluffy and angelic. And they can be as sweet as can be, and they can turn on the dime and give you the business when they need to. Or just for fun.
I think most of it's just for fun.
Just for fun.
Well, I just learned so much from them. Sharon, tell people how they can reach you.
Oh, I can be reached at www.annaflora.com. And you can visit my website or you can email me from there. And I can be reached by telephone at 530-926-6424.
And I just want to say your book with Lily, where Lily is supervising the bowl where the flower essences are being made, that's my favorite picture of her.
It's mine, too. I really encourage everybody who's listening, I don't care at all whether people buy a book or not, but to please go to the Anaphora website, because there you'll see pictures of Lily that illustrate better than any words the role that she played in the flowering of the business and watching over things. And then take a closer look at your own animal and see what there might be there that you're overlooking or not looking closely enough at.
Well, you know, I look really closely at them with a lot of awareness, and still they surprise me, like this thing with Treasure bringing the necklace. They still surprise me.
That's pretty surprising.
Well, I just want to say that my experience of the flower essences and what you do with animals is totally effective, and I recommend it so far above veterinary science. I don't have the words, but Sharon, you and your flower essences and the work you do with animals and honoring them have just brought miraculous results in my life.
Oh, well, thank you. It reminds me, too, of another thing that's an important point. It's just that when I began making the flower essences, I had no idea what I was doing. I was just following my intuition. And then afterwards, after a number of years, I began to send them out to veterinarians and veterinary clinics, and they would try them. And now a large part of my business is supplying them to veterinarians. But the important thing about this is that the intuition came first, and the kind of three-dimensional proof that they worked came later. And I think so often what stops people from manifesting their life purpose is an inability to just follow through with intuition, even if it doesn't make logical sense in the moment.
Yes, especially if it doesn't.
Especially if it doesn't, because that's all we have to do. If we just follow our intuitive guidance, everything else falls into place. And so the Anaphora flower essences were developed totally on intuition, and then they proved themselves as useful, and now I sell them worldwide to veterinary clinics and individual veterinarians, animal sanctuaries, but it was all through intuition and divine guidance.
So wonderful, Sharon, and I just want to say in my life, your work has, I had a terrible flea problem, and I just will not use poisons, and all the fleas left. I had a terrible termite problem, and termites are real stubborn buggers.
They really are.
And Sharon was able to sweet talk them into leaving and going up on the hill with the oak trees, which, and there's a lot of fallen trees up there too. I mean, it's termite heaven. But really difficult things in my life that would seem like I'd have to use poisonous means, which is that
right.
What people usually do.
Right.
And I just want to find divine, higher, happier solutions for everything, and that's what I have found.
And what it really is, too, and I know you know this because your life is so much about flowers, too, is that flowers represent love, and the solution to everything is love.
Hmm.
And sometimes we forget that the insects are animals. You know, they're not pests, they're animals, they're other divine life forms. And so through using flower essences, you're treating whatever the situation is completely with love, and love always heals.
Love always heals. That's a beautiful thing, Sharon. I'm writing that down. Tell people how they can reach you again.
I can be reached at www.annaflora.com. And how can you be reached?
Oh, you can, of course, here on the website, bbsradio.com. And also my email address is miracleshp@yahoo.com. That's miracleshp@yahoo.com.
And anybody that's listening today that would like a bottle of my favorite and very first formula called Return to Joy, if they just contact me, I will send them one as a gift.
Oh, Return to Joy is so wonderful. And it's for people, too.
For people, too.
Speak about that.
We all need to return to joy.
And that's the vibration and frequency that brings the things that people's hearts desire.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's why I now have probably 40 different flower essence formulas, but Return to Joy is always the one to start with, because once that vibration sets in, everything begins to flow in the right direction.
Well, I want to say to people, if you've received books and tapes and different things from Miracles Happen in the past and have been gifted in that way, don't feel like you can't win again. Somebody told me that.
We can win over and over again.
Yes. If you could give one gift, Sharon, what would it be?
To the world?
Yeah.
The gift of understanding that animals are our divine companions and our path home.
Our path home. Say a little bit more about that.
Well, I think that we're all here on Earth to find our home, which, of course, isn't a faraway place. It's inside of us. It's with us all the time. But it's the divine self that we and all other beings truly are. And even though there is no time other than what the human mind makes up, I always like the analogy of a path, like finding the path home or the path to our true self. And it's very often the case that whether we know it or not, our guide on the path is an animal. And it doesn't always have to be a companion animal like a dog or cat. It can be a wild animal that comes to us and it inspires us at a particular moment. So I would just hope that everyone would be on the lookout for the gifts the animals have to give, because they're tremendous.
Yes, they are. And Sharon, you are tremendous and wonderful, and I am so, so very grateful to be on the planet the same time as you.
Oh, and I'm so very grateful for the same reasons and for the fact that you give airtime to the animals and their gifts.
Oh, it is my extreme and great pleasure.
It's so needed in this time.
And I thank you so much for being here. And will you come back, Sharon?
I would love to come back anytime.
Oh, thank you. And thank you, Lily.
Thank you, Lily, for your magnificent gifts to me, to the world, to the animals, to the people, to the raising of consciousness. And bless your little heart for coming out of the alley and coming to be my friend.
What a brave cat.
What a brave cat.
And what a smart cat.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd pick you for my personal human if I were a cat. Duh. Or me.
Or you.
Well, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. And wherever Lily is, We call our I Am Presence to send to her a thousandfold return of all the good and beauty and joy and upliftment and delight she's given to all of us.
Yes.
And you too, Sharon.
Thank you. Lily, thanks you. Bye.
Bye.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are a thousand times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Ah, men, ah, women, ah, children, and yeehaw!